Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up at 8 o'clock tonight, Randy Bellisomo, Kevin Warrick. We're going to be reloading this week's news. A lot to talk about. The biggest stories, overreported, underreported, winners, losers. Which story will be remembered from this week? 5, 10, 15, 50, 500 years from this week. 312-981-7200. Welcome to participate. I want to get your thoughts on the stories of the week. Well, when President Trump put out his spending priorities in his budget proposal back in April, one of the scarier cuts had to do with public transportation. Even though the cuts didn't come to fruition in the federal budget, it did highlight a problem that the state of Illinois has in competing with other states for infrastructure dollars. The bottom line is, we don't have a plan. And we don't have any money in the bank. Nope. Because all of the infighting over the state budget, we haven't thought ahead and prioritized the future of transportation, roads, and overall infrastructure. This is everything from new highways to extending the Red Line to renovating Metra. This, of course, compounded by the fact that the state of Indiana just added a gas tax to fund roads and new projects, so they're on top of it. So if we're not ready to match federal funds in Illinois, what's that mean when the funds come available? And if we can't get access to said funds, someone's paying for it, and it probably means us in the form of increases in ticket prices and tolls. In studio with me tonight to talk about the state of Illinois infrastructure, RTA Chairman Kirk Dillard. Chairman Dillard, thanks for being here. Good to see you.
Hey, it's great to be here, Justin. You know, step right off that 151 bus, and the Tribune Tower has its own stop.
That's right. It does. I know that bus route well. All right, so let's talk about this. This is something that you really pointed out when they put the doomsday budget out, that there's really not an Illinois infrastructure plan right now with everything that's been happening in Springfield.
We haven't had a capital bill out of Springfield in 6 years, and it's really catching up to us. Our state of good repair, as we call it, continues to get larger and larger. But I was just in Washington last week with the head of the Phoenix Transportation, mm-hmm. My counterpart from Phoenix, and the head of the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce. And we were doing a live nationwide press conference just on infrastructure and the proposals by President Trump. President Trump says he wants a $1 trillion program. That's all fine and dandy, but when that is done and signed into law, Illinois has got to have the matching money to get money.
That's how infrastructure plans work. The idea that they'll give a certain amount of money and you match it. It's almost a two for one, if you will, for extending the Red Line or trying to do anything, extending Metro lines, et cetera.
Absolutely. And the gentleman from Phoenix instantly said, if Illinois is not ready, we have our money in the bank and we'll gobble it up. I mean, it was his term
word,
that
right?
we'll gobble it up. And Indianapolis, there's a great line that I love to use from Indianapolis. And we're talking, and I like Indianapolis, but it's not a world-class city like Chicago. But in Indianapolis recently at a hearing, they said, look, to keep the millennials in your city, the young people, the high-tech jobs, the kind of jobs you want, to keep those young people who are almost now half our workforce, Justin, in your city, you've got to have a vibrant mass transit system. And without a mass transit system, it's like trying to sell them a phone without a camera in the 21st century.
It's always been a Chicago staple. And it's something that's had a sets us apart from a lot of other Midwest cities, our mass transit system, whether it be the L or the bus system or the Metra trains. We are on par. I mean, you could sell that in present time. It's still, and we're not going away. There's no threat of the 151 going away, as you would know better than I. But the point being, we're not necessarily, because of the problems we're having downstate, thinking about 15 years from now, 20 years from now, what's going to happen when there's even interesting new developments in technology for transportation.
Well, 30% of our fleet is beyond its useful life already. And, we have been the beneficiaries of our grandparents and parents planning. We've got a great mass transit system here, and it's our duty, this generation, to keep it up. More people are riding the L today than ever before. 70% of everybody that works in the Central Business District and the South Loop take mass transit to work. And without mass transit, whether you take it or not, without it, we'd have to have 27 more lanes of highway without Metra, let alone the CTA. I can go on and on and on again, but every dollar invested in mass transit produces $4 in private sector development. And, we hear a lot of bad things about Illinois, but Mayor Emanuel is quick to point out that Chicago over the last 4 or 5 years has led the nation in corporate relocations, mm-hmm. whether it's McDonald's, there's Google near the Morgan Street stop on the Green Line now. You know, we have all of these new corporations relocating here and mass transit. In fact, tomorrow I'm told the Tribune is going to print a letter that I wrote about how economic development is spurred by mass transit. And it's one of the reasons that the Central Business District is a highlight of Illinois's economic development, and mass transit's a major reason for that.
How do you, I mean, you're a former state senator, former gubernatorial candidate. I mean, how do you get Springfield to turn its attention to a capital bill when they can't wrestle a state budget?
Well, I've always thought the operating budget has to come before the capital bill. But if I had any advice, and I'm a former state senator, chief of staff to a good governor of Illinois, I would say the two really need to be almost run simultaneously. My former colleagues are going to have to make incredibly difficult decisions on the operating budget. And like the old song, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Because at the end of the day, a capital bill is going to, it's a lot of money.
The capital bill will help the governor and the four legislative leaders pass that terrible operating budget that they're going to have to pass someday. And the capital bill at least gives legislators something in terms of hope
to go home with. Because it promises communities transportation things.
Absolutely. Better red line, better metro service, lots of things that they can hang their hat on. Don't forget there's mass transit in downstate Illinois, in Peoria and Champaign and places like that that desperately needs propping up as well.
Is there any way, I mean, politically, since I have such a political, I would say political legend for the state of Illinois in studio.
I don't know about that. But,
that's why I gave you the pause to get me out of that statement.
Has been.
Is there any political way that a capital bill could help lawmakers? We just kind of mentioned about spoonful of sugar that, you know, as they are at a standstill, they can't figure out the state budget and they both don't want to hedge at any point. Is there a way that a capital bill could somehow expedite help compromise?
Well, I would say that mass transit helps expand our economy. And I always tell my downstate friends that we move over 2 million riders a day in metropolitan Chicago. And we do it more cheaply than highways or roads. But I tell my road building friends, our buses and trains run on bridges and roads as well. But mass transit spurs economic development. It keeps our young people working in Chicagoland. And it's a quality of life. Even if you don't take mass transit, you save $400 a year just because there's fewer cars on the road, and as congested as our highways are, you'd have to spend another $400 in gas just to keep up your vehicles if suddenly we didn't have mass transit. Mm-hmm. I already mentioned 27 new lanes of highway just if Metro wasn't around. And then if you are able to get rid of a second car, you can save almost $11,000 a year. And mass transit is a bargain for anybody. And if you live in one of our communities like I do, where Metro's around or the Brown Line is around, your housing values go up. In fact, when we redid the Brown Line, every piece of property within a mile of the Brown Line has gone up in a few years 40% in value. That means more money for the Chicago public schools. It spurs economic development, new building. The before and after pictures are incredible. And, we're looking at hopefully in the Trump administration getting money, and it's a high priority of Mayor Emanuel's, to redo Union Station. More people take go through Chicago's Union Station every day than go through Midway Airport. Mm-hmm. And there are studies that say if we redo Union Station, we can spur $4 billion worth of economic activity on the near west side. That's private sector money. You do that with the old post office and you can continue to have just an incredible boom and make this a magnet for corporate relocations and to keep our young people who go to our great universities in Illinois and not have to have them go to Seattle or Phoenix or Texas to find work.
RTA Chair Kirk Dillard in studio. We're talking about the state of Illinois infrastructure. It's interesting, without an Illinois infrastructure plan, a capital bill of any sort, we can't start saving money. We can't start thinking about what possibly could be right around the corner as President Trump and Congress talks about infrastructure, and it should be one of the next topics that come up here. There's a huge investment in the country that could be coming our way, and we're not prepared for it because a lot of what the federal grants, the way it works is they match, and we don't have the money. If we don't have the money in a bank account, where do we get it?
Well, I give the mayor and the city council a lot of credit. You know, we were the last big project delivered, the redoing of the red line. We call it RPM, red line, purple line modernization. $1.3 billion came from President Obama's administration at the last minute. That was innovatively, according to the Civic Federation and Wall Street, the CTA has innovation in its budget making process. We matched it with tax increment financing money, TIF
interesting
money. So we were very creative, but you know, we're going to run out of pools of money to match. And everybody else in America, Indiana's new governor, Republican Eric Holcomb, gas tax was his first thing right out of the box, saying we got to be ready in the Hoosier state for infrastructure. The South Shore Railroad in Indiana, not part of our system in the RTA, adding a second track. Iowa, you know, sleepy old Iowa, increased their gas tax by a dime. In Nebraska with Governor Ricketts.
And that's all just to get the money so they're ready for the federal grant.
Right. And you know, and some
grants
of it they will spend on their own, but they're all getting ready. And if we're not ready, Indiana and Arizona and Nebraska and Iowa are going to take or steal Illinois money that we've paid. We Illinois taxpayers have paid to Washington, and we need to get our own money back, and we've got to have the match to do it.
So is there anything short of a capital bill that we can start, that our government can start saving?
You know, we're always looking for innovative ways, and Metra's not using it to match, but Metra has had they hadn't had a fare increases for so long. They have a long-term plan to help replace part of their fleet. And it's interesting. I take the Burlington Northern Santa Fe route, Aurora to Chicago. The car I ride in on every day was delivered when Dwight Eisenhower was president. We are talking old infrastructure. Again,
absolutely.
30% of our fleet, and the CTA is doing a great job modernizing its fleet with the budgetary conditions we have. We're an old system. Many of our L stations are 100 years old, the mayor and the CTA are doing a great job. They're planning, but these are 100-year-old structures, and you have ADA compliance, and they just need to be upgraded.
And we saw a couple of years ago, when we actually had what Chicagoans consider a winter, Metra having trouble, and a lot of that sort of on the idea that this is an outdated system. For you at the RTA, how can you convince a public that it's important to upgrade when there isn't a disaster in front of them?
Well, it all goes to economic development. And again, we move 2 million, and it's a sixth of the population of Illinois, 2 million riders a day. Think of a day that we had the magnificent Cubs parade. You know, everybody writes stories when things go badly. But we had a couple of million riders, actually 2.5 million in our combined system on that day. When people were talking about what are the real numbers, at the parade, you know, everybody wasn't there, but most people were. I mean, we moved a couple million people flawlessly and, most importantly, safe. We have a backlog of just state of good repair, which we have a plan at the RTA. Hopefully we get the assistance of the federal government and eventually the state government. But we have about a $20 billion backlog of just keeping the system where it's at. And that's really without expanding the new system, you know, anywhere else.
Let me ask you one last question here. Mm-hmm. And this is one that I do talk to others who are other things besides transportation. The mayor kind of mentioned it when he was talking about violence. And it really had to do with going to the private sector, this idea of corporate involvement, collaboration. Do you see a day in which for-profit companies, the private sector, private companies would invest and take control of transportation, infrastructure, other projects? We kind of saw that. We see it with the Skyway. We see it with the parking meters. But do you see a point where the L may be ran by a private company because we just can't afford it as a municipality?
Well, I know President Trump wants to use tax credits and wants to privatize. And I tell people every day one of the greatest privatization examples in America is, you know, our Metro trains run on private railroads. So that is a tremendous public-private partnership. As I look out on Michigan Avenue and I see what's called the J.D. DeCoe bus station mm-hmm. stops, that's a $400 million private sector to the CTA project. So we're always looking for public-private partnerships. But to move 2 million people, just like we build the Eisenhower and Stevenson with public monies, we have a duty to take care of folks who need to get to work. And I always remind people, we're very different than most of America. We don't have yellow school buses running in the city of Chicago. Whether you're a parochial school student at St. Ignatius or St. Pat's or Chicago Public School, your school bus is the CTA.
Man, right, of course.
And what's very different, and that got when I was in Washington, the attention of some lawmakers, but there's always going to be a need to have public money for public transportation. And again, it moves your economy. And if you're stuck in the Eisenhower, if you think it's a long commute today, if you didn't have public transportation and we didn't put 2 million riders on our system, you'd get home on Sunday from Friday's workday.
RTA Chairman Kirk Dillard in studio tonight. We're talking about the state of Illinois infrastructure. We got to have you back. We'll do it again. I know next week was next week Infrastructure Week.
It is. It's National Infrastructure Week. And I will tell you, the American Society of Professional Engineers graded transit, the public transit, the lowest of all categories, a D-. So it's time to kick it up. And, you know, hopefully President Trump is from New York City. He's got to remember he's got a building here in Chicago. And I think in the end, you know, he said $1 trillion. I just hope a large chunk of it goes to mass transit. Thanks, Justin.
Chairman Dillard, thank you.